Hi, I'm Dr. Pam Peek, and welcome to episode 28 of Her, the podcast all about women, where we share the naked truth about her mind, her body, and her life. Oh boy, today we're going to be talking about, Oh no, we're not making New Year's resolutions, are we? So we're going to argue that any day is a great day to change. Don't be worrying about that January 1st stuff. But before we leap into that, I want to make sure you know that this episode of Her is made possible by our wonderful friends at Smarty Pants Women's Complete Vitamins. They're delicious once-a-day gummies that contain the complete vitamin, mineral, folate, and omega mix customized just for women. Trust me, you won't forget to take them because they taste so good. To learn more, please go to SmartyPantsVitamins.com. And just a quick reminder to hop on over to iTunes after our episode to rate this podcast and review us. Yeah, we read these reviews. We relish your rates. So please, hop on over and get it done. All right, it's time for Her.
Her. The podcast.
The naked truth about women.
Her mind.
Her body.
Her life.
It's all about her.
Ah, resolution, revolution. Any day's a great time to change. Our intrepid fitness professional, our expert who's going to help us understand what this is all about, is Liz Cora. She has tortured me in many a class. Oh, I'm sorry. Did that just come out of my mouth? Liz is absolutely a phenomenal, highly trained, ridiculously certified professional with over 15 years of experience delivering dynamic and effective group fitness and personal training. She first brought her amazing flair to fitness after having been a professional dancer and choreographer. Oh my gosh, I took a bar class with her. Yeah, I had to go to rehab afterwards. And I'm still feeling it, but it was wonderful. Having trained thousands of clients and group fitness participants, Liz's knowledge of quality programming and the human body are nothing less than superb. Hey, Liz, welcome to Her.
Hi, Dr. Peek. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, boy. Okay, now, listen. Between both of us, let's just pull up our chairs here and you know, get that tea or coffee or whatever we're doing right now. Now, there are women out there in Her podcast land who are saying, OMG, it's January 1st. Am I supposed to be doing this resolution thing? Have you just got through trashing yourself through the holidays? Are you still rocking it? What good grief, should we still be doing this resolution thing?
Absolutely not. The resolution thing is a thing of the past. It's funny. It's something that we're all accustomed to because we're raised that way. Where people ask already, oh, what's your New Year's resolution? How are you doing today, Dr. Peek? What's your New Year's resolution? On the elevator, looking forward to the holidays? What's your New Year's resolution? It's definitely a thing of the past, and there's never a bad time to start a resolution, because what is a resolution? It's a goal. We should always have goals all year long. We should always have goals for ourselves.
But you're arguing that January 1st is not some nirvana day where everyone should just sort of, you know, wait and defer until January 1st, that every single day of the year, every hour of every day, is another opportunity at any time to just change it up, right?
Absolutely. Every morning you wake up is an opportunity to begin again. So if someone is on a regimen, I want to eat clean. I have to be gluten-free. This makes me feel good. These are the things that I do. And they slip and have a slice of cheesecake at night, which is part of life. The next morning is an opportunity to start all over again. Every single
but
day.
But also to learn,
moment.
Right? How about learning, you know, just sort of say to yourself, well, hey, treats are okay so long as they're done strategically. Ooh, there's that word, strategically.
Yeah.
You know, like
I agree.
Mindfully. Yeah, mindfully. Be present for it. Don't be sneak eating or cheating. I hate that word, cheating. You know, I just wrote that piece for U.S. News and World Report.
That was
on
a great piece.
You know, yeah, ditch the whole cheating mentality because it's silly. Now, haven't you and I, you know, in the gym, watched what happens between January and March? What happens to all those people who we call the resoluters?
Well, it's funny working on the other side. You know, I am on the side where you and I will hit the weight room or you'll see me pumping iron and working out. But I do work on the other side where we gear up for the new year because we know the resolution, you know, participants are joining the gym and membership is gearing up and everybody's ready for the New Year's resolutions. And it's funny how the industry works that January and February are our biggest months of the season. Or the year, excuse me. And then March, when it starts to get a little warm out or it starts to get, you know, the weather gets nicer and then people have been, you know, really true to the resolutions for 6 to 8 weeks, we see a big dip and we prepare for that also. So we know in the industry when the dips are going to happen. And this is through years and years of catering to these New Year's resolutions and knowing and seeing the trend.
But it's more than just nice weather and people going outdoors. You know, people are falling off. You know, they don't last long for a lot of reasons. And there are like countless ridiculous number of articles out there that talk about why people don't do so well when, you know, they plunge into some kind of a New Year's resolution campaign for themselves. You know, things like, for instance, their expectations are very unrealistic,
sure.
Right? Isn't that what you teach in your classes? What do you teach?
Well, I want to back up to one point that you made about, you know, resolutions. And resolutions are based on what you think you should be doing versus what you really want to do. So society tells us that we should all set a resolution every January for the entire year. And mostly they're the stereotypical resolutions that we all grew up with. We have to lose weight. We have to save money. We should start dating. We should start, you know, whatever your resolution is, you know, the number one being we have to lose weight. But if you Google New Year's resolutions, which I recently did, there are over 24 million New Year's resolutions. And rarely are they resolutions or goals, like I said, based on what you really want in your heart for yourself, the goals that you want. These resolutions are based on what we think that we need. We think we need to lose weight. We think we need to be a certain way based on what society tells us. But really what we should be doing is setting goals that really matter to you individually. And if you are setting a certain goal, if you sit down today and you say, you know what, I really want to fit into those jeans, then this is something that means something to you. It resonates with you. Or maybe it's, you know, I really should get my carpets clean because it's been a while. Whatever it is, it's a goal. It's something that means something to you. It's not something from those 24 million results. It's something that means something to you on a very personal level. So I wanted to back up to that to say that these resolutions and these goals, resolutions are simply goals, but they really have to mean something to you. And piggybacking on that, you don't have to wait till January. I could say today, you know, I really want to be able to afford these really expensive Nikes that I want, and I can start saving today versus saying, oh, I have to get through the holidays. I have to get through all of this, and then I'll get them when I want to. Or, you know, a lot of people in my class will say, let me get through the holidays, and then we'll talk about taking more classes. Let me just eat as much as I can, and then I'm going to work it all off. But can't we set our goals and learn to be mindful and learn to be more purposeful with what we put into our bodies and how we treat ourselves every single day to reach us closer to our goals?
I love it. And so what you're saying, Liz, is that you want to start a resolution revolution. What you're saying is that every hour, every day, any time is a perfect time to start the whole change process, and that instead of deferring and then picking up, you know, a pretty big mess afterwards, doing a little, you know, maybe a lot of damage control, you know, I think it's a huge stereotypic myth that you could just flip it on a dime and suddenly just drop those 15 pounds you gained from the fall through the holidays and then up to January 1st. Well, it's certainly as you get older, that ain't happening. You know, I mean, it's just, it gets harder and harder and your body doesn't like it when you keep roller coastering and yo-yoing all over the planet. So let's agree then that you, Liz, are going to help us with this resolution revolution. We're just going to revolutionize this whole thing and say, take a chill, everyone out there. I know you want to maybe potentially change, do a little changing, you know, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. So don't force anything. And then let's take some very careful steps in learning how to be able to lay down a blueprint that is not there for a quick fix, but it's there for the long term. It's got to be sustainable. So, Liz, you've been talking about how to start a healthy lifestyle and, you know, really starting to set that template. How about starting small? What does that mean?
Starting small means identifying small habits and the root of the habit. So if I go home every day at 6 o'clock from work and I have a nice big snack on the couch before I cook dinner, what is the root? Why am I sitting on the couch at 6 o'clock at night after a commute having a snack in front of the TV before I make dinner? I'm just using this as an example. I don't really do that, but just as an example.
Just saying.
Maybe the root is that you had a really long day and you're looking for something for comfort and you're looking for something to satisfy you. So we have to look and examine at other ways we can provide comfort to ourselves. And I will say that I have in the past been very guilty of, when I put the kids to bed, turning on the TV and popping a bag of popcorn or, you know, getting a treat and sitting in front of the TV and watching my favorite show. And it wasn't until recently over the summer that I went through some medical issues that I was able to really identify the root and the reasoning. And it was because it was personal satisfaction and comfort. So I decided to go to Whole Foods, I think with you, and find a really delicious tea. And I now, instead of grabbing snacks, you know, the kids' snacks, it's Goldfish crackers or whatever I can, I made a change and I have a really delicious cup of tea as I watch my show, and then I go to bed and I'm satisfied.
Okay, now,
and I'm
now,
warm and comfortable.
So the issue is starting small. So what you did was you made one small change, but it was a small and powerful and strategic change, because you knew that you needed something that was maybe warm in your tummy and that was comforting and it felt good, and something as simple as a truly delicious tea. And I'm a real, you know, I'm both a cup of joe as well as a tea person.
Me too.
And it worked. So I think that the grand majority of people out there need to hear, just like you just said so well, that it's small changes. And as a physician and a scientist, I'm here to tell you, the body does not like large radical changes. It doesn't like that. It will fight you, because the number one prerogative of the human body is survival. And if you get shook up too fast, too radically, it'll fight you back, and it's going to rebound, bite you in the you-know-what in the end. So
absolutely,
small changes, right? Little small changes. How about, here's a good one. Now, you're a fitness professional, and sometimes, you know, I've dealt with this challenge all my fitness life. You know, I've been lifting weights for more than 30 years and on and on. But to find the right physical activity for yourself. Notice I didn't say exercise. I said, what's the right activity for yourself? How do you coach someone through that as a fitness professional. You know, they're saying, well, I hate running. Well, that's fine. The grand majority of people so don't run. But how does someone learn to be able to experience sort of a smorgasbord of interesting experiences that might work for them?
Well, there's that saying, leap and the net will appear. So it's really about putting yourself out there and trying things. And I've worked with many clients and, you know, many class participants who have said, I don't like running. And my response is, well, then don't run. We have to find something that feels good and that you enjoy. We don't all have to belong to a gym. We don't all have to run. We don't have to be bikers. We don't have to be yogis. Our body is designed to move. If you think about, you know, primal days, we were hunters, we were gatherers, we were fishers, we were moving, we were always doing something. And now the average person, you know, commutes to work sitting in a car, sits at a desk all day long, commutes home, and then sits down for dinner. So our bodies are asking for movement. If we think about when we were children and we ran, you know, ran around and played, or walked and played for some people, and we jumped rope and we climbed up the slide and we rolled around in the grass, we did what we liked. We listened to our body. So it's really getting in tune with what your body is asking you to do. That we, almost 2 years, maybe 3 years ago, I was significantly overweight. I had some health issues. And I had to stop working out. I had to stop exercising for 6 months. And for somebody who's in the industry, not being able to move my body was like speaking a foreign language. And coming back, I was only able to do 30 minutes of exercise every other day. And that's all my body could do. And that was okay. So we really have to step back and say, it's okay to be wherever you are. And it's okay if this is not for you. What works for one person doesn't work for the other. And I do say in some of my more intense classes that, you know, your body is designed to run away from fear and pain. And if you're pushing yourself to a level that your body is not comfortable, if you jump in after not working out for years and years and years to the highest boot camp class that you find because you want the most bang for your buck, then your body's going to push back. Your body's going to do everything it can to make it so that you don't go to that class again because it didn't like it. It made it really uncomfortable, and it pushed you so far out of your comfort zone. And then just like the New Year's resolutions, you're setting yourself up for failure. So it's really just trying and moving and walking and experiencing and trying different things to see what's enjoyable. Because if you enjoy it, then you'll do it. You'll commit to it.
Now, that being said, you know, which I think is just absolutely eloquent, you know, you are going to sweat, and this is work. This is not supposed to be a party. You know, sometimes it is, but the grand majority of the time, you're working it. And the thing is, you're working it, and it's also something that will feel good to you. Right. So for instance, I'm not a real huge fan of what I call the treadmill. It's just like, oh, my gosh. Right. So if I'm going to run, I'll run outdoors. I mean, I just can't. Oh, my gosh. On the other hand, I can do the elliptical, you know, a lot. I have one in my home gym. Obviously, I use one at the health club, et cetera. It just, you know, it's great. Now, is it work? Heck yeah. But it's much more enjoyable than the treadmill. You see, it's all relative. So you just try to optimize what you can and then find, you know, a wild and crazy combination of things out there that simply work, right? So yeah. I'm a triathlete, so I got all kinds of wonderful, you know, sports I can play around with, from swimming to biking, spinning, running, hiking, walking, lifting weights, all kinds of cool stuff. At the same time, I'm also starting in with martial arts because I found that to be really cool. And I like that too. It's a challenge. See, everyone out there, just find something and just do a little piece of it. Right. And do a tasting and see how that went. And then just be patient. Your body eventually will adapt. Yeah. Keep it really, really super simple. Oh, my gosh. I mean, you were showing me how to jump rope. I looked at how you did it. I couldn't believe it. You know, it was just that beautiful kind of the boxer's jump rope, you know, where you're just sort of going side to side, barely lifting your feet up. It looks so fine. I tried it, almost killed myself, I have to admit. You didn't even have to laugh now, did you? Did you, Liz?
Sorry about that.
But I'm getting better. I'm getting better because I've always wanted to know how to do that. I'm doing it literally in small steps.
But that's a goal. So maybe that's one of your little resolutions. That's something that's a goal that gives you personal satisfaction. And, you know, for me, jumping rope, I was one of those kids on the playground growing up that did double dutch and did jumping rope. You know, back in the day, we had three recesses. And every recess, I would grab a jump rope and I was on the blacktop, and that gave me personal satisfaction, and that made me happy. And that's what I did as a kid. So now when I jump rope, I love it. And that's an
now
exercise.
We're looking at...
It doesn't have to be. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Well, you know, a lot of people, right, say that it's really important to kind of get through about 30 days of a change to begin to cement it. Is that something that you've used in your own recommendations?
Absolutely. 30 days to create a habit.
Right?
And so it has to be a habit and a part of your life.
But here's the thing. Out in her podcast land, I know for a fact that we got ourselves a boatload of, you guessed it, perfectionists. So they have to do it perfectly all the time. And if there's any deviation, they are a total failure. Oh, did I hear extremism in there too? So, you know, can we just practice the 80-20 rule? So try to, you know, on average, hit it about 80% of the time. Give yourself 20% of the time, right, for being a human being. We've all had days when we just don't want to get out of bed. Right. And, you know, right there, busted and done it. On the other hand, 80% of the time, if you could just nail it and just give it your best, then you're starting to cement a brand new habit. So if you could give yourself a little bit of womanly wiggle room, then that helps a lot. Have you seen that really work with your own people, Liz?
Absolutely. And that's funny because I'm sure you've heard me say, and especially when in my cycle classes, when we're climbing really big hills or I have new participants and I don't want them to get discouraged because the triathlete is right next to them, you know, sweating on the floor and, you know, just expending all of this amazing energy. And I don't want anybody to feel intimidated. I say to them, just trying is making you stronger. And I'm sure you've heard me say that a million times in class. Just trying is making you stronger. Just trying.
I love that. That's it. Just
it doesn't have to
trying.
Be perfect. There's no such imperfection is perfection. Moving your body, doing 20 minutes, showing up is half the battle. You're sweating, you're moving, and if it makes you feel good. Because in the end, what is this all about? In the end, what are goals and reaching goals and resolutions all about? It's about the way that it makes us feel. So if we just try, and at the end we give ourselves the pat on the back and the credit where it's deserved, I got out of bed, I showed up, and I tried my best, then you've won.
Absolutely. I love that. And, you know, that's something that I think comes a little easier for men because they're not as self-judgmental. I think women do a real number on themselves. You know,
sure.
I don't look as good as the woman next to me. Shame on me. Shoulda, coulda, woulda. Shame, blame, guilt. You know, how did I get myself in this disastrous condition in the first place? And it goes on and on. I mean, what do you do when you hear that coming out of someone's, you know, one of your wonderful women's mouths when they're, you know, in class, before, after class? How do you console them?
Well, it's funny because, and I'm sure you've heard a million times when I'm at the club, I'll greet people, hi, beautiful, hi, gorgeous, hi, lovely, hi, you know, whatever. And I mean it. I wouldn't say it if I didn't mean it. I'm one of those people. It's funny, my close friends will say they know that I'm not telling the truth or I don't like something because I keep very quiet. I don't say anything. So I always greet people, hi, you know, how are you today, et cetera, et cetera. And when I hear somebody saying, I can't, and it's funny because today I had somebody in class, and he looked at me and he goes, I can't. And I say, if you can't, then you never will. It's like Eleanor Roosevelt said, if you say I can't, then you never will. You have to change your mindset. So I really try to divert the mindset when I hear the negative banter and I hear the self-bashing. Because what you say, what your mind says, and I've said this recently a lot in class, having, you know, undergone my own personal health battle this summer, your body does what your mind believes. So if you believe that you can do it and you say you can, then you will.
I love it. So we're starting small. We're being realistic with our expectations. That's another big, big thing. And that is the ability to be able to just, you know, when you start small, you have small milestone objectives that lead to the accomplishment and completion of larger goals. I think that women sometimes just jump all over the place and say, okay, I'm 50 pounds over, and, you know, within 2 months, I should be fine. Wrong. What would be marvelous at the end of 2 months is if some progress was made, and it was sustainable. Notice I did not attach any numbers to it. I didn't go to some perfectionistic place. I just simply said, what progress did you make that is sustainable and that is sticking and that has become an ingrown habit of yours that you can now take forward to accomplish even more? And Liz,
and how do you
said
feel?
That. Well, yeah. I mean, how do you feel about the whole thing? I mean, how do you feel physically, mentally, spiritually, right?
And then before you even begin, I'm sorry to interrupt, but it's so important that we acknowledge, before we begin these goals, fitness, weight loss, whatever it is, to acknowledge that no matter what shape or form you are in, you are still an amazing human being, that you still have something to contribute to the earth. And I know that guy got very like deep and dramatic there for a second, but that's very important to acknowledge that no matter what shape or form you are, you're still beautiful, you're still a fantastic person, and you still have a lot to contribute.
Well, I think that's hard for a lot of women. No, I think it's really hard, Liz, for a lot of women out there to swallow that. Why? Because they're so tough on themselves.
Tough to swallow. Yeah.
You know,
but it's true.
It's tough for them. You know, it sounds great on paper. And, you know, when you and I talk about it, it just sounds wonderful. And I think both of us are reaching out to the women in her podcast land to say, take a moment, just take a breath, sit with it for a minute, and believe that you are wonderful and beautiful. Believe it. Then you'll achieve what you need to achieve in your goals and objectives. And once you do that, then you succeed. So it's believe, achieve, succeed. In that order, it all starts with a belief in yourself. And, you know, I think women sometimes listen to too many voices out there saying, nah, you can't do that. Nah, you're not worth it. You'll never be able to do that. And I bet you've heard that come out of women's mouths during classes, when you're working with them. How do you rescue them from that dark place?
I usually say, you can do anything that you want to do. You just have to believe and you just have to want to do it. And it's unfortunate that we're told in the world, since we were young, we should look this way. We should be this way. You have these beautiful models on the cover of magazines, which I feel like the industry is leaning towards, you know, real, not that they're not real women, but real, you know, everyday women. But we're told we should look a certain way. We were told what our resolutions should be. We're told how to behave and to react. And it's truly a mindset, and shifting the mindset to what do I want and what would make me happy? Because in the end, it's your life. It's how you feel about it. And nobody can tell you how to feel. And I agree that we're also self-conscious in comparison. And there's that quote, comparison is the thief of joy. And I actually got dramatic and I said that in my class the other day. But it's true. We can't compare ourselves to anybody, our goals, our resolutions, our life. because we are all so unique and different, and we need different things. So it's up to us to decide
what matters. Well, the more you compare yourself with someone else, the more you lose yourself.
Absolutely.
Because it's gone, you know. So come back to yourself again. And it's so wonderful having a fitness professional around like yourself who can help redirect women back to themselves to see their own value, self-worth, and sense of self-confidence. So, you know, when we're circling back now on this, on our theme here, resolution, revolution, any day's a great time to change, right? So when we're looking at this, then the argument here for everyone, from Liz, myself, right, on the Her podcast, is that every single moment, every single hour, every day out there is a golden opportunity to begin that process of change. And when you want to begin it, rein yourself in and try desperately, right, to set up small steps, be patient with yourself, practice the 80-20 rule, find activities, just explore. You'll probably be blown away by the stuff you love. And then start experimenting. Integrate them into your daily life, into your weekly life, so that you stay as physically active as possible. And then whatever you do, please have a belief in yourself. Don't listen to anybody else. Listen to yourself. Say, yeah, I can do this. I'm going to make this change. Be very, very patient, because it's a long process that has to be sustainable. Liz, as people out there, as you're trying to rein them in, as they really want to leap out there, you want to take that little fishing rod and rein them in, right? And you're seeing these people are saying, oh my gosh, I'm going to, you know, do all these amazing, incredible things after, you know, rescuing themselves out of the holidays. As we wrap up this wonderful podcast with you, what would your parting words and words of wisdom and advice to them be as they're sitting there going, yeah, yeah, I'm going to do a million things?
I always say that when people say, I don't like it, it's uncomfortable. You know, we set the goals and they're going to do it. And I say, remember, if it doesn't challenge you, it doesn't change you. Because when we set these goals and someone's so excited and they're jumping up and down, I'm going to do all of these things and all of these things are going to be wonderful, they are going to be a challenge. It is a challenge to reach our goals. And most often when we get challenged, sometimes we back down. But remember to focus in, not on everything you think that you should be doing, but a couple of things that really would make a difference in your life and make you a happy human being, and what you want for your life, not what we think we need for our life. And once you identify those things, have that laser focus, as Dr. Peake says, that laser focus, that acid focus, and think about how you're going to feel when you achieve the goal. What is the incentive to reach the goal? Is the incentive feeling better, fitting into the jeans that you haven't fit in 10 years, being happier, decreasing your blood pressure, maybe getting off diabetes medication? There's so many different goals, but the goals that you set for yourself should be for you and only you.
I love it. This is just beautiful. What a perfect way to close out this segment. Liz, you've been absolutely wonderful. Liz, how can people get a hold of you? You've got Facebook, Twitter. Share all of that.
I'm on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and that's the best way to get a hold of me. I'm very good at those things. I'm a little social media.
What's your Facebook?
Liz Cora. Very easy.
Okay, so it's LizCorah, and then Twitter is at Liz Cora, and the website is LizCorah.com. Liz,
see, we're keeping it simple.
Oh my gosh. Thank you so much for being on the Her podcast.
Thank you. This was truly an honor, and I'm so happy, and I hope that my words will resonate with your listeners and make a difference and really make a positive difference in somebody's life.
Yay! I love it. Thanks, Liz. Hey, everyone out there. Remember to catch every episode of Her. Just hit subscribe on iTunes or on our show page at RadioMD.com. And please take 30 seconds and rate this podcast on iTunes. Why? Because we want to attract more people just like you to the show. And that happens when you take the time to rate it. While you're at it, can you leave a review as well? Just remember, I read these things. I love it. I'd love to hear from you. So bring them on down. I'm Dr. Pam Peek. Hey, follow me on Twitter at PamPeekMD. And you can also check out our Her show page at RadioMD.com for all of our past episodes. Thanks so much for listening. And please stay well.